soir la vraie morée. Well, I'm dressed for the summer. I don't know about you. Might need to come down a bit. I'm dressed for the summer. I don't know about you, but it's lovely to see you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. To be in your presence, whether we're in this room, whether we're at home, in the car, whatever, listening to this recording. We thank you for this moment. Help us to be still and know that you are God in this moment. Lord, there's lots of things going on in our minds, our hearts. Perhaps there's jobs left undone, things that are going on at home. I know one person at least has got water pouring in where it shouldn't be pouring in. Lord, still our hearts and minds. By your Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Amen. Now, it is lovely to see you all. It's great. And we have some notices because we're alive. Yes. Excellent. Good. Next week, Hungry Hearts. For those who don't know, Hungry Hearts is an opportunity after the service on Sunday morning, once a month, the last Sunday in the month. It's an opportunity for those who'd rather not eat on their own to eat with other people. Doesn't necessarily mean eat other people's food. The idea is you bring your own, but put it in a pile and then everybody eats together. And it's a great opportunity, as I say, particularly because Sunday can be a lonely day. And we're thinking particularly today about relationships. So next Sunday, after the service, around about 12:30, people start gathering or staying on after refreshments for lunch. So do stay if you'd like to next week. An important notice today for the Holy Spirit Day, which is coming up in 2 Saturdays' time. We're away for a few days' holiday as of this evening. And so it's today is the last day for letting Leslie have your form back if you want to come to the Holy Spirit Day. There's paper forms outside that you can tear off the bottom and give to Leslie, or you can email during the day today if you want to. But we've got lots of people coming, which is great. I think about 25 people are coming. So it'll be a good day here in 2 weeks' time to learn about the Holy Spirit and to pray for one another. Also today, and it's so much as about food, which is great, because food is fun, and we have a fun food time in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, which is our harvest lunch. I'm looking for Joan. She's around somewhere. Oh, she's behind the projector, behind the screen. Excellent. Thank you, behind the computer screen, Joan. What do you want us to do, Joan, and I'll tell people? Right. So two things to sign up for. One, to come to the harvest lunch, which is after the service on October the 8th. And also, if you'd like to sign up to bring some food and so on to help with that, then do please sign up as well. So come and bring if you can. And Joan behind the computer desk is the one to talk to if you've got any questions. And lastly, we had a very good church meeting on Tuesday. It was very prompt, finished at 9 o'clock. For those who weren't there, you missed a good meeting when we welcomed in Andrew Bottrell Andrew Askew and Peter Bottrell have applied for membership. And we said, yeah, of course, great. And we welcome them in formally in a service in due course. But it was a great time. The minutes of that meeting for members are available for hard copies. For those who are not on email, they're out on the table. Our theme today is relationships. We're thinking about who we are and how we're to be. And the most important thing to start with is to think about the Lord. That's why we always worship to start with, to focus on him. And this is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds of the animals of the wild, the birds in the sea and the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And as we focus on our Lord, whose name is majestic in all the earth, his name is love. His name is of God is love. And as we come to worship, our first song talks about this wonderful love. In our worship time, I always say, for the sake of anybody who's new, feel free to sit or stand. We have gaps between songs. We have spaces in which to be silent or to pray, to speak out loud, or to sing. This is our time to worship the majestic Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you welcome all of us today. Whether we've been following you a long time, whether we've gone away from you, whether you seem distant. Thank you, Lord, you always welcome us with open arms. And Jesus, you are our hope. Jesus, the hope of the nations. Jesus is the light. Could we bless Karen on the balcony with the light turned on, please? It would be really lovely. Can we have that light? Ah! I was just singing here. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. I looked at Karen and smiled, and I could see her thinking, "Where is the light?" Hallelujah. Let's just give praise to our God, who is indeed the light of the world.
We thank you, Lord, that you are the light within us. Not a light that's shining apart, but a light within us.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Our next song talks about God being faithful. And yes, we've heard people in these countries saying, this has come from God, this disaster. And that's it. That's all that they've got. Lord, we thank you that you are a loving, compassionate God who comes to save us. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. In worship and wonder, I behold your face, singing, what a faithful God have I. we just sung. Lord, all sovereign, granting peace from heaven, let me comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given. I will tell of your great love for as long as I live, singing, what a faithful God have I. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to comfort those who mourn and tell of your great faithfulness. Amen. Please be seated. It would be good now if we could take up our offering, an opportunity to say thank you to God in another way. Father, we thank you for your gifts to us and the opportunity you give us to bless you by giving. We pray that you would multiply these gifts so many will come to know your love. Amen. Before Andrew working with Connie, we've got something to do first. Ollie, could you come up? Because Leslie and I are away next Sunday, which is Ollie's last Sunday, I said, can we have a word now and take the opportunity to bless you? So that's for you. Eat it like an ice cream. You know the score. Where are you off to, Ollie? Can you just tell us shortly?
I'm off to university. I'm going to Loughborough University. Shall I carry on?
Yeah, please do,
I'm going to study sport management, and I will be there for the next 3 years. I'll be back at Christmas, so I should hopefully see you at Christmas. And then I won't be back until late March after that. But I will be back. I will be back, hopefully.
What are you looking forward to? I've got the microphone. You keep that. What are you looking forward to, Ollie?
I'm looking forward to
leaving Brixton. I know. You can be honest.
Well, I'm looking forward to leaving Brixton, but I am going to miss the sea. Like, when you've got no money, the sea is a great provision for something to do.
You can't get further away from it if you're in Loughborough. As Leslie will know, if you're in Leicester, Ashby-le-Zouch, Loughborough, you are as far away from the sea as you can get on it.
Well, I've had a little look, and there's a place called Stony Cove, which is an old quarry which I can go swimming. But it's quite far away. I don't know how I would get there. It's possible.
There'd be a big swimming pool at the university, honest.
Yeah, well, I think there's like an Olympic.
Yes, there is. There's an Olympic. They're very good at Loughborough, that's
but,
right.
It's just not the same. And you have to pay to go in a swimming pool normally.
No, if you try and.
Day trip to Skeggy.
Day trip to Skeggy, there we are. That's what you do if you're in Leicester.
Well, I'll go there. but I'm looking forward to having like control of my own diet as well. I'm actually looking forward to getting to cook and do my own food shopping. Like I am.
Who wants to marry this man right now? That's a man who wants to do his own cooking.
I don't know. honestly looking forward to that and right. just having that little bit of independence and self-control. And I think it's an opportunity to grow away from my mum yeah. and yeah. I can just be me and be who God wants me to be. Right. And, you know, like without any pressure from, like it's new relationships. No one knows who I am. Yeah. So I can just be who I feel led to be. Like who there's no pressures to be the person who people want me to be because they don't know me to be that person. That I was.
That makes good sense. The it is a great time to be you. My bit of rebellion was making my hair grow really long. So I've been quite controlled, well, very controlled at home, and it was freedom. So we understand, for all sorts of reasons, it can be a great time of freedom. We said to our children, and we feel like saying to you, as you know, a young man who's come here, that our responsibility as a church has been to give you roots and wings. Roots in Jesus. And Ollie came in the last year to this place and has found Jesus, has given his life to him, has received his life, been baptized, and we've seen you grow wonderfully. God has made this a growing place for you. And you have wings. And exactly. And fly, boy, fly. So just come down here. And can anybody who'd like to pray for Ollie, lay a hand, come up. It'd be good to have four or five of us. Debbie, thank you. I know you're keen. Anybody else? You don't have to be qualified. Oh, Abby, great. Anybody else want to pray for Ollie? Or is he really such a pain that you're just need to see him go? Oh, Joan's coming. Right, okay, that's great. Can I give you the microphone? And... then just pass it on to whoever needs the microphone next. Dee's got it at the moment.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Ollie. We thank you, Lord, that you brought him into our presence. We thank you, Lord, that you've rooted him in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for his presence because he's brought us great joy in this place yeah. to see how you can grow a young man to love you and to share your word. So, Lord, as we will miss him, but we know he is spreading his wings, Lord, we pray, Lord, that as he will be you, he will know he is rooted in you as he goes yes. off to university, and that he will show that love and compassion that you've given him in his heart to those he meets and those he comes in contact with. Pray, Lord, that you would just bless him. And that you would just keep him safe until we see him again at Christmas. Mm. And he will have such a testimony to tell yes, us when he right. comes back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, this is your beautiful son, Ollie, of whom you are well pleased. Let his light go ahead of him into the next stage of his life. Let him... just shine your love and grace, your light, so that others want to understand and who want the same can actually meet you. And Lord, we ask you to bless him and overshadow him with your protection, but also give him amazing opportunities in the next 3 years. It's a precious time. And build people around him of faith, and also people around him who are people of peace. Yeah. And I ask this in your precious name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ollie. And we just pray for him as he goes off and starts this new season in his life. Father, we see that you have your hand upon him and that you are working in his life. And we praise you and thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that he would be a real witness, a light wherever he goes. And we pray that you would be with him through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, as he steps out in this new season. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Jesus, I thank you for letting me get to know Ollie over the last year or so. And yeah, I just thank you that you've led him to Loughborough and that he's going to be there for a reason and that you've gone before him there. And you're already preparing hearts to meet him, and yeah, I just pray that you help him meet the right people and that you'll put people around him that can lift him up, but also that he can have a laugh with and just get along with, and yeah, I just pray that he has a really good time there, and it just, yeah, paves the way for his future. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And Abby and Ollie, you stay here. Ladies, if you'd like to sit down. Come back up, come up a bit so people can see you. Right. This is Abby, who most of you have met before. And I thought, too good an opportunity as Abby turned up this morning, not for us to pray for you as well, because where are you about to go off to?
I'm about to go off to Australia in just less than 2 weeks to do a course called Youth of the Mission. It's called a discipleship training school. And yeah, I'll be doing 3 months in Australia, and then I'll be doing 3 months, it's called Outreach, in Papua New Guinea. So yeah, should be good.
So fun.
Yeah,
so,
really
so
fun.
Just a wonderful time. You can enjoy it.
We
give you permission to enjoy it and have a great time.
Thank you.
What particularly, because you said that last time you were here that you needed prayer for good connections, obviously flights and other things to get there, but also good connections while you were there. And you also needed help with finance. How's God been answering prayers so far?
Yeah, so far I've got all the money that I need and a bit more as well to allow me to be generous whilst I'm there. So yeah, praise God for that. It's really cool. And also I do feel a lot more peaceful about the flight there as well. So
good.
I just feel like it's going to be okay kind of thing. And yeah, everything's going to be good.
Wonderful. When we were praying the prayer meeting, I've shared this with Abby already. We were praying for Abby. Andrew said, I need me to pray for Victor and Caroline, and we need to pray for Abby. And God gave a picture to Debbie, really, in her prayer, of that you would be a stream of water, but there's water flowing out from in front of you. And then I don't usually get visions of pictures, but I was clearly given a picture of a river, but within lots of irrigation channels that were spreading out from it. Lots of irrigation channels from the one river. And then David Butler said, when we were in Australia, we were taken to a river that was then connected to a whole lot of irrigation channels in Australia. So I shared this with Abby and said, you know, God is clearly going to move through you, but not just through you, but through you to others, who then the Holy Spirit will move through them as well. And Abby's response was, oh, God's cool, isn't he? That'll do me. So, would you like to step down? And would you like a couple of people, different people, hopefully this time, would you like to pray for Abby as well while we've got her here? Andrew, he's coming. Anybody else?
Yes,
yeah, Leslie. Okay, good. We've got Abby and we've got Andrew and Leslie. That'd be great. So give the microphone to them and let's pray for you now.
Father, we just thank you for Abby. We thank you that when she was in her mother's womb, you knew the plans you had for her. And this is the start of her life with you, Father. Father, it's no surprise that you've called her to Australia and Papua New Guinea. You know the plans you have for her there. You know how you're going to use her there, Father. We don't, but we just ask that blessing that she is to those there that she will meet. For the glory of Jesus.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll give Abby permission to go freely to Australia. Father, our daughters are very precious to our mums, but I pray that Abby will be able to go, knowing that her mum is releasing her in this to go.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, give her the freedom to learn, the freedom to experience what you've already planned for her. And Father, I just pray that this will be the most amazing time of her life that she'll never, ever stop talking about.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, I pray over the prayer that I have continued to pray for Abigail, that she may love people for who they are, that this love for who people are may be encouraging for her to be generous, for her to go out and minister to them, for her to share the hope, to see them as brothers and sisters and share the same love with them as she would with her brother, and just bless her richly in all of her efforts with people, and let her not feel dread towards having to go out and socialize and having to go out and speak to people. And when she feels like she's got a flat battery, just pull her away from those situations, please, Lord, and let her recharge. Let her, let her just have her alone time, and let her rest in you, relax in you, Lord, trust in you.
Thank you, Lord.
And just really, really feel your blessing and how precious your plans are. Lord, I pray over our relationship while she's away as well, Lord. I pray that you may comfort us in each other's absences. And I pray the same for all of her relationships with the people that she knows. Because God, she is so far away. But she is also right there.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord, for technology. It really does feel like a lifeline. Keep on blessing her, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Bless you. Bless you. Round of applause for these two guys. Right, let's pray for you guys. You've got to have fun. I don't know what, at least I do know what Andrew's got today. It's a man who had a tricky relationship with his siblings. I will say no more than that. But he had a tricky relationship. So, Father, we thank you for Connie. We thank you for Angela. Andrew, who's working with you this morning? Dee. We thank you for Dee. We thank you that Connie is just not beautiful Connie, but she's also representative of all children who you want to know the truth and to enjoy learning about you, Jesus. So bless them, I pray. Amen. Great. I've asked Mark if he'd pray for me, so thank you, Mark.
Isn't it wonderful that Stephen can pray for Abby down there for her trip away, and also a blessing upon her and our dear friend there, Ollie, can pray for him. But even our minister needs prayer. So let's just pray for Stephen now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Stephen. We thank you for the blessing that he's been to us as the church here in Winter Street. We thank you, Lord, for his commitment, his faithfulness to your word. He doesn't add, he doesn't take away. He preaches your word as from you, Lord, as the Bible says. And we thank you now, Lord, for the time that he's spent this week in preparation for this morning's word to us now. As we are blessed by what we receive, we pray you will bless Stephen as he gives it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, this is the third and final message arising from our preparation for our for our participation in the Baptist Union's consultation process regarding a rule change to permit accredited ministers to enter same-sex marriages and retain their accreditation. And we first looked at God's word and how we must know it, not doubt it, and not allow it to be distorted. Last week, we looked at God's purpose for marriage and what it is. A gift from God, and what it is not, a right for everyone. This week we're considering relationships in general in one sermon, so I hope you've planned to be here a long time. I met one of our students when we were doing newly accredited ministers training. He came up one weekend to Oxford where we were doing this, and he said, right, that's it. He said, I'm only ever going to speak on relationships from now on. Obviously, things had gone on. And in some ways, life is all about relationships. We've got with other people, with things, jobs. Well, it's all about relationships. So where do we start? I'm not covering much today, but I hope to cover the foundations that will be a blessing to us all. Where do we start? In the beginning, God. Just like last week. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land, vegetation, light, sun, moon, and stars. On the sixth day, God created the animals in the sky, in the sea, and on the earth. And God saw that it was good. All of God's creation is good, giving glory to its creator, revealing his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. And then God created something else. Something completely different and wonderful. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move on the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Three lessons from these words. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. The first one is let us. Have you ever noticed that before? Let us. Who is the us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that God is love. Have you ever thought about that? You can't have love without a lover and a beloved. Who is the lover? Who is the beloved? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are each one and the other. They love the other one and receive the other one. They're bound together in this mysterious dance, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all loving one another, being one and yet three persons. Before anything else was created, God is love. All relationships, everything springs from a God who is in perfect relationship with himself. This is the God who discussed among themselves what to do, and they decided to create, hands up, everybody, us. Us. More fool God, you might think. No. Let us make mankind. That's the second word, make. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Genesis 2, verse 7. All the scriptures I'm quoting, they're on sheets outside if you want to take them home with you to reflect upon. The Bible makes it clear that men, women, and children did not evolve from animals. I know this may be challenging, controversial against 95% of scientists and maybe 95% of our population. But it's very clear that men, women and children did not evolve from animals. On the sixth day, the animals that lived on land were all made by God, and he saw that it was good. But then, as a separate, considered, intentional act of creation, he made mankind a little lower than the angels, as Psalm 8 says. He formed mankind by making Adam from the dust of the earth. And then he made Eve from Adam's body, hence woman out of man. This is a separate creation because of what happens next. God says, God saw all that he had made, and it was who said good? You're wrong. Who said very good? It was good before, but once he made Adam and Eve, it was very good. Why is this important? What is the problem? We're believing that we are just another animal species that has successfully evolved to have power over all the other animals. What's wrong with that belief? Is it denies what Scripture says? It's coming up now. the third point. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Nothing else in all creation is made in God's image or likeness. Nothing else is like him in character or appearance. The birds, the fish, and the animals are beautiful, wonderful, and amazing, but they are not made in God's image or likeness. That's why no suitable helper could be found for Adam among the livestock, the birds of the air, or the wild animals. However blessed people are to have animals with them, and I know how much a blessing animals are to us, they are not the helper God chose. We were designed to be like God, created like God, to rule and reign like God. We were designed to show the universe what God looks like, to show his character. And his most important characteristic is bang on. Because it's obvious, isn't it? We were created for a love relationship with God and with one another. When we call ourselves animals, we deny who we are created to be, and we end up fulfilling our own words as we start acting like animals. Or, I would argue, far worse than animals. After he'd made Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Genesis 2:18. Now, have you ever thought about that statement? I'd encourage you to really, Ian always asks me after the service, what's the title? And today, it is not good for the man to be alone. We're told that God saw all his creation before mankind was created, and it was good. Once he created man and woman, he saw his creation was good. But here is the complete opposite. Here is something in God's creation that is not good. Sin hasn't come yet. The fall hasn't happened yet. God has done this wonderful creation, but he's made something that's not good. What is it? Man alone. Everything else was brilliant, but that was not good. God did not design us to be alone. He designed us for a relationship with him, but he also designed us for a relationship with other people. Amazingly, God seems to be saying that it's not good for man to just have God for company. Lisa's not leaving because she thinks I'm completely off the wall. It's responsibilities for Connie elsewhere. Bless you, Liz. Bless you. God did not design us to be alone. He designed us for relationship with him and for other people. Amazingly, it seems that God is saying it is not good to just have him for company. Now, it's true that without a wife, a helper, the man cannot fulfill his humanity and destiny and reproduce other human beings. But I believe God is saying far more than that. The word says very clearly, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And so God creates Eve. God sees that the man needs another person as a helper, a companion, a friend. And no animal can do that. But God is not enough. Now, I put down here, is this a heretical statement? God is saying, I am not enough for the man. I hope by the end of the sermon you're going to be really encouraged by this. But we need more than a relationship with God. There are Psalms, and there are even parts of the Bible that if we read them on their own, give the impression that we only need a relationship with God to be fulfilled and fruitful. There's a song, a beautiful song, which says, "You're all I need. You're all I've ever wanted." But is that true? Is it true? Is that how you feel today? Do you feel guilty that your relationship with God is not enough? Do you really believe that all you need is God and you need nothing to do with anybody else? You might be thinking, I need desperately other people. And God is not very happy with that, because it says in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing." But had you noticed, I'd never thought about it before, it's absolutely true. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack nothing, because I'm a sheep and I got lots of other sheep alongside me. We rely upon the Lord totally for what we need, which is food, peace, water, shelter, and love from other people. God does not want you to be alone. Now, this is good news. God does not say, "Well, you should be happy with me." No. He does not want you to be alone. He wants you to have a good relationship with others. What kind of relationship do we need? What kind of relationship does God offer us? The world will say to us that we need a sexual relationship, and it is not possible to be happy or truly fulfilled without one. This is a lie. Jesus was wonderfully fulfilled, truly happy, and he never had a sexual relationship. I was thinking of using other examples, and I thought, actually, let's stick with Jesus. Jesus was the most happiest alive person. Everybody wanted to be with him. Tax collectors and sinners, you name it. Children, above all, wanted to be with Jesus. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but he was also the most joyful, happiest man that has ever lived and is still alive, because he's still fully man. It's not right to say, in order to be not alone, we need a sexual relationship. But neither is it right to say that we must be married in order to be happy and fulfilled and not alone. Jesus wasn't married. He will have a bride in heaven. We talked about that last week. If you listen to the message on the website, you'll hear about it. And we have a glorious future where the whole church is Jesus' bride. So Jesus is looking forward to being married. But he was not married on earth. Man or woman was not married. Marriage is a wonderful gift for some. But it is not God's plan for everyone. We're not in the same position as Adam and Eve. This is a question that came up after last week's service. I'm really encouraged that people are talking about the sermon after the service. At last, after being a minister for 16 years, I've obviously chosen the right subject. Adam and Eve were told, go forth and multiply. Be together. Together produce children. Multiply, fill the earth. We cannot say, therefore, we're all supposed to be married. It's not the position. Adam and Eve were unique. They're in the position they were in. We need to know what God wants for us, each one of us. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth on these matters, saying, it is good for a man not to marry. And he also said, now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I am. Because the assumption in that church at the time, in most churches at the time, was that everyone should be married. There are particular reasons why Paul needed to say this. The persecution of believers was a major one. But he didn't say, it is better for a man not to marry. That's what the church for centuries has done. and in the end ended up with celibacy for all priests. It's better for a man not to marry. Didn't say that. It's good for a man not to marry. It's also good for a man to be married. We had to be really careful at listening to what God's word actually says. There was an example of a lovely man, but a very sad man, probably in his 80s. He'd done window cleaning. That was his occupation. He lived in Rose Valley in Brentwood in Essex, where I met Leslie when I was there. And I used to visit him quite regularly. And every time I saw him, his first words were, "It is not good for man to be alone." And he spoke of how he never married because he didn't think he earned enough as a window cleaner to support a wife. And he was desperately lonely. And the only solution in his mind was a wife that he didn't have. Not everyone will be married. Some will lose their spouse to sickness or separation. How many of us here are single? For a variety of reasons. Does that mean we have to be alone? Has God abandoned us? Is he still not saying to us, "It is not good for you to be alone"? Is he not still in the business of finding helpers, companions, friends for us? Although I've been married for almost 40 years, I can still remember very powerfully the pain of being lonely. The yearning for someone to love me, to be somebody's special person. Some of us may have been given the gift of being single and are at peace with that. Others have not and are not at peace. God understands. God cares. However we are today, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, whatever the troubles of the past, I believe God wants to provide us all with good, loving relationships that enable each of us to feel loved and to be who we are created to be. Just looking at Abby and Ollie here, as putting them on the spot. They're loved people. They're loved by their families. They're loved by their church families. They're loved by their friends. They're loved people. And they are free to be themselves. And you don't realize, probably, you guys, for so many of us at your age were not free to be who we really were. So you are free to be who you are. And you can fly because of that. And it's because of the relationships that you have with God and everybody else. And that's what we all need. And this is God's heart for us. This is one of the most beautiful verses you'll find in Scripture. And it's on the bit of paper outside. Psalm 68, verse 4 to 6. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rises on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. What might God's setting the lonely in families look like? For some, it is marriage. But what else? And there's lots of things we can think about here, so we haven't got time. But I just want to give a couple. Friendship. We encouraged our girls not to run around trying to pair up like everybody else did at school. There was great pressure to have a boyfriend, to have a girlfriend. But we encouraged them to develop a group of friends, boys, and girls, where they could enjoy a number of platonic relationships. They did, and they had them all. They were free, wonderfully free. King David and Saul's son, Jonathan, had a deep friendship. They were deeply committed to each other. You can read that in 1 Samuel. We need to invest time in friendship. Not an agenda, not for evangelism. There used to be a strapline here in the church about making friends for Jesus' sake, and it was felt that it was not right because it was looking like making friends with ulterior motives. We need to make friends for love, to give and receive. Leslie and I have both lost very close friends through death and separation. Things will go wrong. Jesus wept as his friend Lazarus' body was in the tomb, and his friends Mary and Martha were weeping bitterly at the loss of their brother. Jesus needed his friends in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "I lay my life down for my friends." He called his disciples friends. Jesus was abandoned and betrayed by his friends. He understands what it's like to have good friends and to lose good friends. He understands what it feels like to feel alone and that the whole of the world is against you. There's been time when Leslie and I, we've needed to ask God to help us find some friends, to build friendships. One particular time when Leslie desperately needed somebody to be able to talk to, because we've been told by a Christian minister to keep quiet and not say anything, which is a rule I would never comply with anymore, and I would never say that to any of you. But at the time, we were bound by it, and Leslie had nobody to talk to, but God gave her a friend in answer to prayer. So there's friendships, precious friendships. And another way of not being alone that God provides is the church family. We have always sought out a church family, the church family that God wants us to be part of. It's a wonderful thing. We've got millions of brothers and sisters in Christ, and particularly in Australia. Yes! There's going to be lots over there. But we need those people, whether they are afar through technology, but most importantly, close by, in person. We need God's family, where we can love and be loved. As I said, Andrew and Peter were both welcomed into membership on that Tuesday, and we'll be receiving them very soon. We have a covenant relationship in that service, where they give themselves to us, and we give ourselves to them. God has created this bond for this period of time, however long it will be. And it's a wonderful thing. It's what we prayed for Ollie and Abby, that when they go away, they will have good friendships. They'll find a church family. They'll find brothers and sisters in Christ that can grow with them. Jesus did not teach much about marriage. Really surprisingly, you won't find many examples. But he taught loads about loving one another, and particularly in the church family. Because this reveals the God of love, who's the head of the family. The New Testament writers do the same. The letter writers give us lots of information about loving relationships. And Jean, if you could come up, we will eventually get round to a Bible reading, because you know we haven't had one yet. In Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he explains that in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then he says these words.
This is from Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good relationships don't just happen. They had to be worked at. They take time and effort. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be a good sister or brother. And we can receive with grace the love of our brothers and sisters in the church that God has chosen for us. And all the churches. We can be good brothers and sisters of the churches in Paignton, Torbay and beyond. Be sincere. Focus on the good. Honour one another. There's a message for us in every one of these phrases. Serve the Lord with joy, hope, patience and prayer. And then you will enjoy your church family. You'll discover friendship and love. And you will want to share with those in need. It is the most wonderful thing on earth. Is a church family operating in the way it should, looking like Jesus. Small or big, doesn't matter. If it looks like Jesus, it's wonderful. Practice hospitality. Some have a gift for it. Most of us just need to give it a go. You've heard me say it before. If you've got a tea bag and a kettle, you can do hospitality. All of us need to practice hospitality. Every one of us. There's not one person here that command is not for. Don't worry about what you can't do. What can you do? I boiled 2 eggs for Leslie this morning. Boiled egg with a bit of toast. I haven't done that for at least 5 years, I think. And I just about made it. One was soft and the other one was half soft and mostly hard. But never mind. I could do it. I made myself do it. Don't worry about what you can't do. Do what you can. Bless others. Laugh and cry with others. Live in harmony with others, whoever they may be. So, in summary, we were created by God in His image for a loving relationship with Him and with others. God wants us to enjoy our relationship with Him. And yet He tells us that's not enough. He doesn't want us to be alone. He wants us to have relationships with other people. And He will help us make and keep good, loving relationships. This may include marriage, but not necessarily. We can trust Him to do what is good for us. Andrew, could you come forward, please, and do our final reading? This is a bit of the Bible you don't normally have read out. It's the boring bit. It's the bit that, why on earth is that in there? It's a bit, this great theological letter that Paul has written, explaining the whole of the gospel, the whole of the history of mankind, in fact, the whole of history of creation, and how it all makes sense. He then wastes a whole lot of ink, you might think, with what Andrew's about to read to us. Thank you.
This is from Romans chapter 16, and starting at verse 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of His people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, and all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epinetus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the house of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphona and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympas, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings.
Can we have a round of applause for that, please? Thank you, Andrew. You imagine if you were Epinetus. Greet my dear friend Epinetus. Or Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. The whole of the church has gathered to hear Paul's letter. They've all gathered. They've heard this. They've listened to every word. They've heard this theology, amazing truths. And then Paul says, one after another, greet this one and greet that one. Did Paul have a close relationship with God? Was that enough? I'd never really thought about this before. So if you think, well, it wasn't enough. So God gave him. Look what God gave him. The reason I wanted all of those read out is because every one of you is precious. Every one of you is precious. Every one of you, Jesus calls my friend. If there was somebody writing a letter to our church now, if Ollie wrote, you know, if he was decided to go to Australia and then he sent a letter to us, he could say a letter, give my love to David and Rowena, who sat next to me every day and on every Sunday in church and listened to me waffle on, bless them. Give my love to Josie, who welcomed me at the front of the door and said, come on in. Do you get the point? We need friends. We need relationships. And God gave Paul loads. Think of all the things he had to do. He must have invested a lot of time in friendships. So let's pray. I could get very... We've moved on. We're going to cut the last song out and do all sorts of other things because we've gone on. But I feel this is so important. Father, I thank you that you have made us in your image, in your likeness, to be relationship with you and with others. Thank you, Lord, that you know what it's like to feel alone. And it's not good. And so you choose to make good friendships for us, to put us in church families. We thank you, Lord, for every relationship, whether it's members of our blood family or step families or foster family, whatever it might be. Whatever relationships, Lord, you've given us, we thank you. But we do ask, Lord, that you give us good relationships for the future, for today. Lord, we miss friends. We think particularly of Hillary, who's made such an impact because she was such a friend. Lord, give us friendships. Lord, may we be those who are good friends to others. May we be a church family that provides family life to those who have no family. Be good just to pray now for people who are feeling alone. Might be people in Morocco or Libya. It might be people in your street, in this building today. Let's pray silently or out loud for those who are feeling alone, needing a relationship.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you that we can turn to you for ourselves and for others. It is through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, that we have a relationship with you and that we have the power and the grace to maintain and grow relationship with others. Lord, help us to keep turning to you and trusting you. Amen. We're going to finish our service with the song, Yet Not I.
Yeah.
come with me, and we'll. Let's grab a hand if you're able to do that, and let's say the grace together. Karen, you're with us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.